Welcome to another edition of Hockey Prospect Radio. This is Season 9, Week 13 on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. In this week's installment, we're going to talk about the Calgary Flames prospects as well as the St. Louis Blues. And then Russ and I are going to talk about the evolution of the industry of prospects. Not only written content, but on air and some independent scouting departments as well. From the time we started in the industry until now, it's been a massive change. So we're going to discuss a little bit about that. But first off, we're going to talk about the Calgary Flames prospects. So we're happy to bring in Director of Scouting, Todd Button of the Calgary Flames. And Todd, thanks for coming on the show again. We always appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, Todd, we talked a little bit about on air about, you said one of the greatest benefits, obviously, to your scouting department is you just had more picks in the last three, 4 years to really restock the cupboards. And how comfortable are you guys at this current time with the crop of players you have throughout the junior ranks and in the American Hockey League?
I think we're happy with where we're at as far as our prospect base is concerned, but we're greedy. We want to get more and add as many as we can to that pool. So there's always going to be a casualty, so to speak, somebody that you think is going to make it and doesn't, and then there will be somebody that you never had a dream that he would make it, and they do. So the more players you have in that pool, the better chance you have to move ahead as an organization.
One of the guys I really want to get your thoughts on, and I know it was kind of amusing when you guys picked this player in the first round last year, how much buzz around the tables in the media were going on, because majority of them didn't know who this player was, and they, based on the pundits, it was, a pick that they didn't think should have been there, and that's Emile Poirier. And you take a look at how well he played last year, and then this year especially. You guys had to be extremely happy with his progress and how he's moving forward, because I just like the way he's just intelligent with and without the puck, and I think his defensive game for a player that young is really advanced, and I think that's going to help him become a very good pro.
Well, his game has improved from the first time I saw him last year, and he's a hungry kid and he wants to get better, and he's still got he's putting up good numbers there this year. They're a decent team in Gatineau, and he's got some he's still got a long road ahead of him. He's still got a lot of work to do, but as far as his progress and his development is to date, he's been very good. He's a leader on that team, and he's used in all situations, all special teams, and down a goal, up a goal. So that really bodes well for his development when he can get that much quality ice time in all the pressure situations.
Yeah, he's a guy that you really have to like his hockey speed. He's one of those guys that seems to get faster when he's chasing a puck. I like his stick handling and in his decisive shot. He'll follow up shots. And also his play on the PK. I mean, he's a threat to score when he's out there on the PK.
I used to joke with our Ottawa-based scout Fred Parker last year, because we go see him play, and inevitably every game he got a shorthanded breakaway.
Yeah.
And you try and break it down and figure out how he got him every game, and it's anticipation, it's right spot, right time, and then you bring in the speed. So I think we were lucky last year with Emil, because we do have an Ottawa-based scout who, sometimes in those games when you have nothing to do, you go to see Gatineau on a Sunday afternoon at 4 instead of going somewhere else. And we, as a staff, we were in a lot to see Sean Monahan play, and then you pick up Gatineau on the Thursday nights and Sunday afternoons. So I think by seeing him so much, I think we had a decent book on Emil, and we were more than happy to get him where we did in the draft.
Todd, how do you appreciate his feistiness? Because this is a guy who does put up, a lot of PIMs. He's got 105 already in about 45 games, which is, a little high, based on the fact he's not a guy that goes out and throws the knuckles all the time. Do you sort of balance that in your guys' opinion of, okay, what it's more of what type of penalties he's taken based on more of, the number of penalties he has? Because 105 is a little bit lofty.
Well, it is, and he's an agitating type guy, and certainly discipline plays a key role in a hockey player and what's best for the team and in winning, of course. So, I haven't I can't speak to each penalty or where he's at, but for sure the discipline will be an important part going forward. And you'd rather have him have that agitating, energetic style that ruffles some feathers than trying to get him to do stuff that trying to be more energetic. So I think that's all part of maturity and gaining experience as you move on. And and I think, like I said before, like he wants to learn, this kid, and he's got a good base to end up being an NHL prospect one day, or a player, sorry.
Is there a difference, though, when the scouts always seem to be okay with guys being tough and being in the box and everything else, but then if they're up at the NHL level doing that, then all of a sudden there becomes a good time to take penalties and a bad time to take penalties? Do you sometimes, you know, get in the way, like you and the coaches sometimes bat heads with that?
Well, I think, you know, what happens is the scouts take a macro approach to the whole thing. We're looking at Emil over 3 or 4 year period. We're not looking at him in a specific game situation where a coach is, he's worried about winning that specific game, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for sure, like, there's concern on our part if the penalties are selfish and they're costing the team. If there are penalties that they term good penalties, then nobody really has an issue with that. But, you know, we have a full-time development staff led by Ron Sutter, and he'll go through all that stuff with the coaches, his junior coach, but also with Emil, to make sure that he knows what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Todd Button, Director of Scouting for the Calgary Flames, and one of the next guys I want to ask you about is your other first-round pick in 2013 out in the Western Hockey League, and Morgan Klimchuk, who on the penalty side is the complete opposite of Emil, because Morgan's got 11 PIMs in 37 games. But this guy, I think, in this, Regina's not the best team in the Western Hockey League, but it always seems like Morgan's always around the puck and making smart plays. And when the team really needs him to score a goal, excuse me, he's always there. Was that one of the main attributes that when you guys assessed him at the end, you know, during the draft, saying this is a guy we have to target because he just seems to be able to make plays and do when it's needed, even in tough situations, particularly on the road against some very good defensive teams?
Yeah, our overall evaluation on Morgan was that he was a very well-rounded player that could play in any situation, and with good players. And that was a key for us, is that sometimes you get guys who sort of get boxed into a certain spot because they can't play with better players, or, you know, they move down in the lineup and you ask them to check and they can't do that. So last year at the under 18, he played both roles. He started the tournament as you know, in the bottom six, and he was providing energy and killing penalties. And then they moved him up to play with Sam Reinhart and Connor McDavid, and he fit in well there. He was able to play with those two guys because he can move the puck, he has good vision, and but most of all, it's because of his hockey sense. So for Morgan, his game is well-rounded, and when you find versatile players at any point, you like them. Scouts love versatile players, and I know coaches do too. You're never worried about moving them around your lineup. They can play either wing or down in your lineup. So versatility is such a key now in the NHL, because if you have guys that can only play one spot or they get honed in on one spot, then it makes it a little bit tougher.
Did you feel he was the fastest guy in the draft, Todd? I had him listed as the fastest guy, but I'm curious if you had him listed that way.
Yeah, no, I don't think we did. And you know, we don't even look at going back to Emil, and we look at Emil, and sometimes he looks kind of quirky when he skates, and you're trying to figure it out. But like you said earlier about Emil, same thing about Morgan, is they have hockey quickness. They're hockey skaters. Mm-hmm. It's not always end-to-end or, you know, tops of the circles to the tops of the circles. It's in short areas and quickness and, you know, getting to and through holes. Is just as important as a skater, and the agility part, moving side to side and protecting pucks and being able to change your direction and speed. So Morgan has that, and combined with his sense, he always seems to be in the right position.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. With me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Todd Button, Director of Scouting for the Calgary Flames. And Todd, I want to talk about another first-round pick of yours. You guys have quite a few, and Mark Jankowski, who's playing out in Providence in his sophomore year. You know, I try to quell when people ask me questions when I came into Calgary last week for the Top Prospects game, and inevitably his name came up, and people like to look at the stats, and I try to say, look, if you haven't seen college hockey, particularly in Hockey East, you can't judge a player solely on stats, even if he is a first-round pick, because it's a really tough conference to play in. There's a lot of good defensive teams and a lot of older players that are 20, 21, 22 years of age. So are you guys happy with Mark's progress as he's moving forward from an all-round game perspective?
I think when we drafted Mark, we knew that he was a longer-term project, that he was going to take the 4 years at Providence or 3-4 years from his draft year to establish himself. And, you know, I haven't seen Mark play at Providence yet, and that's usually typically the case unless you're going to see other players. You don't see those guys once they've drafted them. That falls to your development team. So, you know, they communicate with us a lot about all our guys' progress, and they're happy with his progress. He's playing center now. He played left wing as a freshman. He's back at center ice, which we think is a natural position. And he's as Ron Sutter says, he's learning the details of the game, the details of the position. Sure, everybody wants to have points, and I'm sure Mark would like to have more points because I know he's getting some special teams play there. So, like you said, statistics is not the overall barometer of a player developing or not. We all want to see it. We all want those points. We drafted Mark because we think he's got some offensive tools. But at the end of the day, it's the details and the day-to-day things that are going to make him a successful NHL player that he needs to work on more than his natural abilities, which he already has.
Yeah, I cover a lot of college hockey and watch on TV, and they definitely need to show them more on NBCN. I'll just let them know that. But for what I've seen of him, which is a little bit, I do like the fact that when he's in close, He can really bury the puck. He has a good sense for that there, and he has really good vision. You could see where he's got excellent vision. And if I did want to break down his stats, he's ahead of his pace of last year. So I don't know what else somebody would be looking for or saying that he's not giving enough. His goals are up, and he's almost at the same point level with 8 less games.
Yeah, and you know, like they're all fair. Like that's how you judge people, right? If you can't watch a guy play or you don't see the progress, that's what people do. So it's not an issue for us. I mean, that's people are entitled to evaluate however they wish. Mark, like I said, we knew he was a longer-term project. We knew what we had there. Strength and conditioning was a big factor in Mark's journey going forward. And now that you know, he's had 2 decent summers under his belt, he's a 6'4" center who moves really easily with good hands. So, you know, once he's able to keep that weight on and he's comfortable playing at that weight and the strength comes, again, I think we're happy where he is now, and we know he has a lot of room to improve and to get better, and that's why we drafted him, because of the end of the day, what his long-term potential was.
Todd, the last guy we want to ask you about is somebody we chatted briefly about offline, and that's John Goudreau. Who is probably one of the most exciting players to watch play, because he's so unpredictable. Like that would be a guy that I would not want to have to defend as a defenseman, because you never know what he's going to do, and he's like a little jitterbug. He's like that fly or gnat at a picnic, and you're trying to smack it, and you can't, and it's making you really mad. That's John Gaudreau, but he's got skills as well, and how pleased have you guys been with his constant progress at Boston College?
Oh, yeah, we're obviously very pleased with how he's played and the numbers he's put up. And, you know, he's in the Hobey Baker consideration last year, and he's going to be in it again this year. We're happy with his development. And, you know, John's put up unbelievable numbers on a great team. He's won a national championship. He's won a Dubuque. He's won a World Junior Championship. So he's been very successful since we drafted him, both individually and with his teams that he's played on. So, you know, Johnny's still a smaller size guy, and that's going to be the one area where he's going to need to improve on at the next level. And as you guys know, once you get to the pro level, things you know, things get harder and tougher. So he's still got those you know, those shark infested waters to cross as he gets older, but and grows into a pro player. But I mean, all signs point to him being his head and his skills being top-notch, and now he's just got to transfer them to the next level when he decides or it's determined that he's going to turn pro.
Yeah, he's a legend here in South Jersey, but rather than pointing out all of his attributes, I see he's listed now at 159. I would imagine you guys, when when you do get ready to call him up someday, and even when he's in the AHL, I imagine you want him to be around 170 when it's all said and done. Is that fairly accurate?
Well, we want him to be strong enough. I mean, you look at with the whole our conference and the size and strength of the teams in our conference, he's going to have to be strong enough. What his actual weight is doesn't matter as long as he doesn't lose his speed and his quickness and his the most important thing is his ability to evade physical play.
Right.
And you know, you look at a guy like Patrick Kane, who's a smaller in stature, but he's virtually impossible to hit. So that it's his brain and his vision and his anticipation that put him in those spots where he can't get hit. And you know, Johnny's going to have to learn to do that at the next level as well. And he's basically mastered it at the college level, so now he's got to take the next step when he, like I said, when he decides and when the team decides that it's time for him to turn pro.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to have more Calgary Flames prospect talk with Todd Button right on Hockey Prospect Radio right after these important messages.
HockeyProspect.com has the most extensive coverage for NHL, OHL, and Quebec Major Junior Draft coverage on the web. HockeyProspect.com acts like a 31st NHL team. They travel with NHL scouts across the globe, scouting prospects in all the major junior leagues and in international events. Their scouts provide game reports and rank players for the NHL draft. HockeyProspect.com is a respected source for independent scouting services and draft publications. Visit HockeyProspect.com today.
A song from our album, The Roaring Silence. We'd like you all to clap your hands. Can you do that? Let's see ya. Woo! All right.
Welcome back to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. We're continuing to talk about the Calgary Flames prospects with Director of Scouting Todd Button. And as we move along, Todd, there's a guy that you guys picked that I know there, he's not a heralded pick by you guys, but Russ and I got a chance to see him play, and I think he's one of those guys that could come into your lineup and surprise a lot of people, and that's Bill Arnold, who's in his fourth year at Boston College, you know, 6 foot, well over 200 pounds, and could be just one of the, like when you watch him play, I just think that's a hockey player. Like he just goes out and plays hard, smart two-way player. We'll bang when he needs to bang. We'll go to the dirty areas. How happy have you guys been with his progress over the, you know, the last four seasons at Boston College?
Oh, really, really, really happy with his progress. Billy, when we drafted him, he laid out his plan. He's probably going to be a four-year guy. He had lots to learn. A degree was important to him. And then the off ice stuff, the working out and the fitness levels he's attained after leaving the program have been just as important for him. And we're excited about Billy. And like all our prospects, you get excited about the guys who emerge from a fourth round selection, so to speak, which Billy was, and he's emerged as a top one of our better prospects. But at the same time, like all our prospects, until they're NHL regulars, they're just prospects. So his progression has been good, and very excited about where he is. And his, you know, hopefully he goes a long way this year in the playoffs and the NCAAs, and then we'll have to get him under contract.
Yeah, I like his hockey sense. I like the shiftiness about him when he's trying to get around defenders. I think he is at a great program. Something that I always find interesting about the college player, and I think this is a good thing, is that by the time you get him, and most of, you know, you can't sign him until he's done, by the time you get him, and if they even did spend the 4 years, they're 21, 22, so now you're not really dealing with a prospect anymore, you're really dealing with a man, and I think you can get better results sometimes then.
And certainly there's a lot of credence to what you just said, and one of the things with Billy was he was a fourth-round pick. We knew he was going to take a longer path, and now that he's put the time in and he's done his 4 years, and you can see his progression throughout those 4 years and the fitness levels, he will be a 22-year-old man when he comes out, and he's a big, strong kid already, and now I think he'll be able to ease into professional hockey physically more than a junior kid will, because he's got 2 years on those kids. So absolutely, in Billy's case, it was the right path for him, and it was the 4 years was perfect for his situation, and I think we're just starting to see the fruits of that decision right now.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Todd Button, Director of Scouting for the Calgary Flames. And Todd, I want to ask you about Marcus Granlund. I got a chance to see him quite a few times so far this year with the Abbotsford Heat. And it's always my concern, and you and I have talked about this in the past, is the first 2 years of the American Hockey League and having to evaluate and judge those players differently than the players who have been 3 years and beyond, because it's such a massive jump and adjustment. That was my thoughts about Marcus Granlund, is how well he was going to adjust from the Finnish Elite League into American Hockey League. Although the Finnish Elite League is pretty gritty, that American League of comp, that compression of talent, whether he would get squeezed out. And, you know, so far through the first 40 games, I think he's had, you know, an excellent rookie season. Any time that you could project almost 60 points in an 80-game season as a rookie in the AHL, I think people have to take notice of that.
And I think Marcus did have an advantage, having played in the Finnish Elite League with men, and knowing what man strong was, and knowing what he had to do to be successful at that level over in Europe. So now it's certainly been an easier transition for him. Not that it's been an easy transition, but it's been easier because he has played against men the last couple of years. So that certainly helped his development. And Marcus is a determined player. He's a quiet kid, but he's very determined, and he knows where he wants to get to. I've only seen him once this year. And the other part of that development process is how the coaches handle him. And he had a lot of little details to learn about playing center ice in North America, and it's a little bit smaller ice and your positioning. But while the coaches work with him, they still give him a chance to succeed on the power play and get his offensive numbers. And I think you always have to have that carrot in front of the player for when you're a coach, and you have to recognize what his shortcomings are and where he needs to improve, but you can't take away what he does well. And Marcus has real good hands and good vision. So while he's learning to play away from the puck and more of a North American style, he's still getting a chance to use those tools that they've got him drafted.
Yeah, and looking at his numbers, I know I was the one who said you shouldn't always look at numbers, but I want to see what the difference is. If you play 47 games overseas and you get 15 goals, and you play 39 here and get 17, is that because he's playing against lesser talent? Is that because he's just getting better? Like, why would his goal total be different, or is it just a difference in leagues?
That's a good question. We've had people try and analyze it and figure out, like, is there a way to project it? I think when you have a player like Marcus, I consider Marcus a smart offensive player, and he's not a playmaker first, he's not a shooter first. He takes whatever the right play is. So maybe he's in more positions to shoot this year, and he's okay, taking advantage of it. Maybe pucks are going in. I can't tell you without being there the whole time.
Right.
But I think 1 year, you know, you see guys that do that, that have more goals, and then all of a sudden their goal production drops off, but they pick it up and assist. So I think part of being a real good playmaker is being able to score. And if you're a threat to score, then that opens up other possibilities for you in terms of a passing game. So the more he scores, the more dangerous he is with his passing. So it's working for him right now, and hopefully it continues.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're talking with Todd Button, Director of Scouting for the Calgary Flames, chatting about some of the prospects in the system. And what the next guy I want to ask you about is another player that you took in 2011 who's in the American Hockey League as a rookie, in Tyler Witherspoon. And I think all of us who got a chance to see Tyler play pretty consistently, I think we knew what he was all about, of being a strong defensive defenseman, but had, you know, some two-way ability in that it could translate into the American Hockey League and potentially one day in the NHL. And have you guys been happy with how he's transitioned his defensive game, playing against bigger, stronger, faster men at the American Hockey League at a much quicker pace?
I think he's still learning. I think we're excited about Tyler's game and when we drafted him, what type of player he could be. But it's a lot tougher to develop as a 20-year-old defenseman than it is a 20-year-old forward. So he's taking made some strides. He got knocked off with a concussion a little bit there, which sort of hampered his development. But he's back playing now. And again, like when talking to Ronnie Sutter and our development people, they're happy with his His commitment off the ice, his commitment to being a pro, which is a big difference from the day-to-day grind of a junior season. So once you get that commitment in place and you get these guys learning to be a pro off the ice, and then it translates a lot quicker on the ice. So Tyler's a big, strong kid who moves well, and he's going to be a first-pass defenseman who's a defender first, before he's an offensive guy. But you never want to put limits on guys either. We're not going to tell him you're never going to score, you're never going to be a point producer. You know, the better he gets, the more he works on his game. You never know at the end of the day what type of player he is. I always tell people, when we got Sergei Gonchar in Washington, when I was in Washington, all the scouts said he's a defensive defenseman. Don't expect much offense from him. And now he's nobody would even tell you that about Sergei now. They'd say no way he was ever a defensive defenseman. But that speaks to Sergei's commitment and his work ethic. I know firsthand. I watched it every day. I watched how hard he worked at becoming a better offensive player. So I won't put limits on Tyler in that respect, because he can do the work, and he has a good work ethic, and he's a competitive guy who wants to get to the top as fast as he can.
Well, I want to tell you, more fans know about him. I'm going to take a little credit here. His Twitter handle is teaspoon77, and I have in my notes, about a year or two ago, he only had 427 followers, and now he's got over 4,700. So obviously people know him, they watch him, they like his toughness, and I like the way he keeps the puck to the outside, but I also like his ability to lay the big hit, and I think when he gets to the NHL level, that'll be big.
Yeah, I think that's going to be his forte. That's how he's going to make his footprint in the NHL. It's going to be taking care of his own end first, moving the puck up, and then your game can grow. But to establish himself this year is his first priority, and then expanding his game outward to the rest of the ice will be a key for him. And like you said, he's played in World Juniors. He's played in a great program in Portland. So he comes from a really good pedigree there as far as coaching and good teams. He knows what it takes to win. So, again, we're happy with his progress, and the only thing that's really stalled him so far this year has been that concussion.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on NHL Network Radio, Sirius XM. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Todd Button, Director of Scouting for the Calgary Flames. Todd, I want to ask you about your goaltender in Abbotsford, and Yoni Ortiz, who is a sixth-round pick, but it doesn't matter because he's Finnish. You could take Finn goaltenders anywhere. They managed to somehow succeed, and you guys must be just ecstatic on how well he's played this year in Abbotsford, because every time I've seen him play, he's made not just spectacular saves, but he's made his defensemen in front of him comfortable to the point where if they make a mistake, they're not panicking, because he just seems to settle them down. And what's the ceiling for this kid? Because at his age, at 22, he's still such a young guy, and a .920 save percentage is pretty impressive over about 22, 23 games.
Yeah, I think with Yoni, the biggest thing with him is it shows the importance of patience in developing players, but also in developing goalies. Historically, they've taken longer to develop, and you have to be patient with them, and they have to be able to figure it out themselves a little bit too. But you can write those guys off very quickly based on a small body of work. So, you know, he came over, he struggled the first time he came over to the American League. He went back, he worked on the things that Jordan Siglett wanted him to work on, and he came back, and you can see the work he's done, the maturity on the ice, the maturity off the ice, and he's in a real good spot right now with our farm team. And you want him to keep improving. You don't want him to get too excited about short-term success. But the base he's put in and the work he's done to listen to his goalie coaches, to apply that to his everyday practice habits, and be able to transfer it then to the games is such a key part of being a goalie. So we're happy with his progress and know that there's still a long road ahead. But obviously, after what he's done in this first half, there's a lot of light at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah, I really like his positioning, the way he'll sort of lay out to make a save, and seems to have a real good quick glove hand too.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing with him when he came over, and it's a different game over here, you can move a little slower over there, there's not as much traffic, but he played that typical, I don't want to say it's a European style, where they're back in the net, and there's very few goalies at this level. You know, you think of Henrik Lundqvist, who can play in the back on the goal line and be successful. But we wanted him to work on his movement around the crease and playing more upright and out away from the goal line. And he went back and he's worked on it. And I think that's a lot of his success has been because he's been able to expand his game.
And now the nets are shallower, so he really can't play back in the net anyhow.
Right. There you go. And but, you know, the shooters in the NHL, they can pick you apart if you're back. And there's very few that can, like I, the guys I mentioned before, they've proven that they can do it. And Yoni's, like I said, he's expanded his game. So that's very, very good for him. And it's good for our organization that he's come back a much better goalie than when he left.
You know, Todd, how important it is for Yoni's progress to have a guy like Jordan Siglett, who is a recent goal active goaltender in the fact that he's a goalie coach, but he just played a few years ago and he's been through the trials of the American Hockey League and how difficult that transition can be from coming out of college or coming out of Europe or coming out of junior and being able to relate to somebody who's, you know, in his age group area. Has that made just as much impact on, you know, Yoni's game as well as his work ethic?
Well, I think Yoni would be the one to answer that perfectly for you. I mean, I have to think that Jordan's had a big impact on him, and I think Jordan's ability to relate to somebody that's closer in age, as you say, is important. You know, goalies are a different breed. It takes one to know one in every respect of a goalie. So you and I, we can watch a goalie and see how well he moves and his quickness, but the finer details, knowing the mentality, knowing what you have to do when you're the last man back and every mistake you make, if it ends up in your net, everybody's looking at you. So I certainly think Jordan's helped his game, and I think that it's been a good relationship, but obviously Yoni could speak way better than I could to that, how much it's helped him.
Well, Todd, we want to thank you very much for coming on our show once again and providing some great insight on your prospects, and we look forward to seeing you at the rink and down the stretch getting into the playoffs.
Well, thanks for having me, guys, and safe travels out there.
That's Todd Button, Director of Scouting for the Calgary Flames. Russ and I are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the St. Louis Blues prospects right after these messages.